Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour. Brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. And online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Miss Sandy Lee of TripleCrownConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. And in just a moment, we'll be joined by co-host Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and Conjurman Ali of ConjurmanAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we will be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, Marin Graves of MarinGraves.com in Grass Valley, California. She will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first let's catch up with our co-hosts, Miss Kat and Conjurman Ali. Miss Kat?
Hi. So nice to hear your voice, Tammy Lee.
Thank you. Yours as well, ma'am. Thank you so much.
How are things down in beautiful Florida?
Things in beautiful Florida are just great, and I always like to just give about a 10-second thing about the weather, and yes, we're still baking down here, but I want to share something with y'all. I've been wanting to say this actually all week, and I figured I'd wait and save it, but y'all, there's so many reasons why I tell you to, and many of us do, to look into hoodoo urban root magic and to please read Miss Kat's online book as well. And so many of you want to become students. But Ms. Kat, recently one of your spells, I worked it, and it's concluded, so I can actually say this. But I had to work the As God Is My Defender spell, and I did it actually for myself and for a client. And it's really one of the best spells ever. And, you know, y'all just need to figure out in terms of where you need to be. I believe that to the best of my knowledge and recollection, it's in your course book. It's really a very good spell. And I just wanted to say thank you because there is justice and there is redemption. And things, you know, sometimes things really do come back around, and I don't mean by way of karma. I mean by way of justification. So I saw that happen this week, and it took some time. It took some time. I made a few mistakes along the way, but I just kept working it, and thank you, ma'am. Thank you. God bless you.
Well,
that's all I'm
you're
saying.
So welcome. You're so welcome. And I always love it when people say this and that spell worked or this thing worked, and then, of course, there's a mystery of what was it all about, but I will leave that with your privacy. But I'm glad it worked. I've used that spell myself and have had good success with it. So, yeah, and I love teaching people. I really do. So that's what I'm here for. So, Ali, how are things down in Southern California?
Things are hot, very hot, but things are going rather well. You know, I shouldn't have spoken so swiftly. You know, I tease Dr. E that this is the summer of love for me while he's been doing cursing work. Well, things have changed slightly now. Everything is headed to a little bit more darker area. I think the summer of love started early and everyone fell in love, but now everyone wants revenge against their ex-boyfriend or their ex-girlfriend. So this past week, all my clients have been calling me heartbroken. So it's been the week of heartbreak, I'll call it. But I am excited to have Marin Graves back on the show, who I got to meet at the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour. So welcome to Marin Graves.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much. And in response to what you just said about the summer of heartbreak, I've experienced that as well the last couple of weeks, but I kind of attributed some of it to Mercury retrograde and all the miscommunications going haywire in relationships, and he hasn't called me in a week, and what's going on? And so hopefully it will swing back in the other direction for you again, and you can be the love worker again soon.
Well, Marin, it's wonderful to have you here. I will just pipe in and say that for me, it's just been a very, very busy summer. Last week, we held our summer apprenticeship program, and we had a wonderful group of people who came from locally and from all over. And I want to give a special shout-out to some of the apprentices, Lisa Warwick, Gwen Gundheim, Leslie Lowell, let's see, Ames Hall, and y'all know him as Professor Ames. He's often in the chat room here. Storm Fairywolf, Chaz Bogan, who together run a shop in Walnut Creek, California called Mystic Dream. And I know I'm leaving someone out. Let's see, who else was there? There was a lot of people that I was teaching, and I've certainly forgotten somebody. But anyway, it was a great deal of fun, and we studied oils and incenses and mojo bags. Oh, Ernie Medeiros was there, of course. I could forget him. So that was great, and we'll be doing another apprenticeship week later in the year, so stay tuned. For those of you who are graduates and who want to take the apprenticeships are free, and all you have to do is work for me in exchange for the teaching.
That's such a great deal. Hands-on training from one of the best. Come on, people, sign up for those apprenticeships.
But you have to be a graduate. Yeah, you have to be a graduate of the course first. So, Marin, I want to ask you what you're up to, and I know you're up to some fabulous things up there in the Gold Rush area. Those of you who know Marin through her AIR webpage know that she sometimes refers to herself as a sea witch. And I love that term, Marin, the sea witch. Those of you who live in California know we have a Marin County, which is down by the ocean. But she's up there. You're up there in the Gold Rush country. And I have always wondered, how would a sea witch get from the Gold Rush country down to the ocean, since you do make pilgrimages to the ocean? And so I've always sort of fantasized you, how do you do that? And then when I asked you that one day, kind of jokingly, you said, I'm going to build myself a gypsy wagon.
Oh, so, wow.
I want to hear about the gypsy wagon. Folks, this is for real.
It is. This is for real. And actually, it was a mental creation that came to me about 7-8 years ago when I started my first storefront location in Nevada City, California. And I was researching and printing out different pictures to decorate my interior walls with, different primitive pictures. You know, the old-fashioned fortune tea leaf readers and a lot of the African-American cultures and the gypsy wagons. And so I had this hodgepodge of images that I was finding online and printing out and framing, and among those were pictures of the old gypsies and caravans. And as I was decorating, I just kept getting this image of, wow, it would be so fun to have a wagon someday, and maybe someday I'd buy a little sliver of property somewhere in Grass Valley, and then I could have that as my parlor. And so it was one of those, maybe when I've got the extra money, someday I can do it. And that time finally came, because what I was trying to create was a detached home office in addition to my parlor downtown. I wanted to have a home office aside from just a bedroom or the room that I currently use at home. And my husband was generous enough just to say, oh, well, let's get you like a little tough shed. Let's do the tough shed. And soon the tough shed turned into me having visions of this church and how I would construct this little miniature 8x10 church with stained glass windows, similar to the Mission Independent Spiritual Church with what you have, Ms. Kat. And and then when I started the financial research aspect about it and the foundation and the concrete and how much this was going to cost, at that point I thought, you know what, I'm going the gypsy wagon route. But the price cost at that point was, I would rather fulfill that long-term dream that I had, and I decided just to jump in with both feet. And then came the research. So I remember very specifically that I wanted to break ground, if you can break ground on a traveling wagon. May 1st was the date that I purchased my trailer, that I had to have a custom-made trailer built. And that took about 2 months. And then I had to have the steel ordered. And now the steel right now is being rolled, and it's supposed to be ready for me to pick up next Wednesday. And then I have welders lined up because I'm going to be actually doing a steel structure. I know that traditionally it's all wood, but because I intend to use this to travel down to the ocean quite a bit or to different events or festivals, I really want something that can withstand 60 miles an hour down the freeway, and I don't want to have to be redoing it 10 years from now. It hopefully could last me 30 years. So,
mm-hmm. Like a modern gypsy wagon, steel works.
Yeah, yeah, the steel should accomplish that. And I've just spent so much time researching and reading too about the gypsy culture and how it connects with a lot of the whole their god, their deity, their saint Sarah, and the whole pilgrimage and the Mary Magdalene connection. And so it opened this whole new world for me and researching a lot of this a lot of these dormant aspects of my faith and spirituality. So it's definitely a big puzzle that's all coming together, and for some reason it's sparked my interest years ago, and now I'm finally discovering why. And my very first guide that ever came to me that brought me on this spiritual path, well, her name was Sarah. And so finding out the gypsy culture and their honoring to Saint Sarah and all of it, it's amazing how it's just a big quilt that all starts coming together when you know you're on the right path and doing what you're supposed to do.
That is very
wow. Wow, that's amazing, Maureen. You are such a thorough person. I just see this rolled steel, these welders, 60 miles an hour, the gypsy church. I mean, wow.
Yeah. And I do have a webpage. The actual church is a little bit wordy, and it's Pilgrimage of Immaculate Wisdom. Immaculate was really important for me to kind of get that concept of immaculate conception in honor of Mary Magdalene. But my shortened webpage is just going to be thewisdomwagon.com. And those pages are going to be up very, very soon. One of them, the Pilgrimage of Immaculate Wisdom, is up, but it's going to be link to wisdomwagon.com, thewisdomwagon.com.
Thewisdomwagon.com?
Yes, and you'll be able to see
wonderful
pictures of it being in process, it going up, the color schemes. Believe it or not, I found a book from the 1800s from a New York publishing company that gave you specific instructions on how to make these colors using the pigment and the mica, and they were predominantly green, gold, red, and yellow. So if you see those traditional colors in wagon, mm-hmm, there was a special coveted formula on how to make this wagon green. And it's amazing to me that I didn't even know this existed.
Oh, wow.
And I'm reading this book, and it reads as if it's, well, if you want help with making the wagon the green, contact Joe on Main Street in New York. Like it was like this handbook that was written as if everybody knew each other, and I got these images of it being just such a small, primitive little community where this was developing and where this was becoming commercialized, kind of, where people were spending their time perfecting wagon painting and the art of wagon painting. It's a dying art. It's a dying art, and I'm trying to research aspects of that and hope that my project reflects that.
Wow.
Wow, that's thorough. Now that's how you do
a
project.
That's amazing. I've just opened up your Pilgrimage of Immaculate Wisdom website. Thewisdomwagon.com is not up yet, as she said, it'll be up soon. But here's a picture of you and a picture of the wagon fantasy.
Yeah.
The Pilgrimage of Immaculate Wisdom, a portable gypsy wagon chapel that embarks upon a pilgrimage. This is amazing. to reach the faithful. Wow, the wisdom wagon. All right, honey, that's beautiful. Keep us posted. Come back on the show soon and let us know when you get some pictures up. That's really, really amazing. All right, we're gonna take some calls from people, and we're gonna do some quick readings, very brief readings, a lot of root work. Okay, Miss Tammy Lee, who is our first caller?
Well, yes, ma'am, Miss Kat, and we'll go ahead and get to our first caller here in just a quick moment. But a reminder to everyone that the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour with your hosts Catherine Ironwood and Kanjama Ali, excuse me, and this week's special guest, Marin Graves, will be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination, and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our calling clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. If you filled out a questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We will select callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like for you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Ms. Tammy Lee, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our host. Now it's time to go to our first client, and our first client is calling in from area code 203. This is star 02. Star 02, are you there, caller?
Hi.
Hi. Welcome to the show. I'm going to go ahead and read the brief situation for our host. This is star 02, again, calling in from 203 Connecticut, and this is a first-time caller, and she writes, I've been in relationships that hasn't lasted, and now I'm looking to settle down with the one I will grow old with, have children, and get married to. Turning it back over to you.
Short and sweet.
Short and sweet. So, so what is your question? Because I hear that's a description, but what's your question?
The question is meeting that person.
Okay, so you're not actually looking so much for a reading as you are looking for some root work advice guided by a reading. So when people ask that question, and this is something that comes up a lot when I read, I'm really going to spend, and we are going to spend more time on advice, but we're going to use the cards. I'm going to use the cards. You could use other types of systems too. Pendulum could be used. Any kind of, you know, bones or anything could be used to determine which of the kinds of classes of spells would be the most useful for this person, because we are talking about spell work. So you want to meet someone, and you want this person to be a real serious love and someone who will stay with you a long time, settle down, and grow old together. Now, one of the ways that I was taught, and this comes out of, I guess you would call it the old Western esoteric tradition, the four element system. There are four things, earth, air, fire, and water, that you can divide your spell work up into. So earth would include, in some people's way of thinking, gems, minerals, crystals, and some people will include growing herbs in that because it's earth in the garden. The air, people would include incense in that. Fire, they would include candle magic, right, or burning things. And for water, teas, and that might include an herb tea, and it might include other liquids like perfumes. So when I'm asked a question, what should I do? One of the first things I'm going to do when I throw my cards is to see whether we're going to be working primarily with earth, air, fire, and water as far as recommending the kind of spells to you. So that makes sense to you, hon?
Yes.
Okay. First, I'm going to ask you, what is your sign?
Sagittarius.
You're a Sagittarius. That's fire, right? Okay. Now, just before we throw the cards, I will say Sagittarius does have trouble settling down. That is endemic to the Sagittarius sign. They are the second least likely to settle down when young, and the most least likely to settle down is Gemini. So you're coming from a little bit, you know, not at the forefront of those who settle down, but you're ready now. How old are you now?
I'm young, 23.
You're how old? 23?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, you're settling down pretty young for a Sag, I'll tell you. A lot of them don't settle
down. Yeah, I don't know. My sign doesn't really go with me for some reason.
You might have some other stuff in another sign. A lot of times the sign right next door on either side is the one you've got. All right, so I'm going to ask the question of the cards. With what should you work to do a spell? And let's fashion some spells around that kind of stuff. I'm going to put down three cards. And I'm also going to ask at the same time, what has the greatest chance for success? Okay? So the first card I have is very interesting because it would be your card if you were a little older, but you're not that old yet. It's the Queen of Wands, and that is fire. And this is a card that represents your future self as a queen. She has a black cat in front of her. She holds a sunflower, and she has a crown of gold with herbs in it, and she holds a wand that is bursting into leaf, and she's out in the desert. Silver sand on one side, golden sand on the other, and she wears a garment of gold and silver as well. She works by day, which is the sun, which is gold, and she works by the moon, which is silver, by night. And her sunflowers are a plant that turn themselves toward the sun. And so this is tells me that you should work with fire and with light and with the sun and possibly with herbs. The next card is probably the best old card you could hope for to have a steady love. This is the Ten of Cups. And this is a man and a woman embracing each other with their arms wrapped around a waist. And there's a rainbow overhead with 10 beautiful golden cups, and that represents water. And there are two little children playing Ring Around the Rosies, and they have a little homestead, and they have a little creek, and they have it's just a very pretty little little country home. And the third card is a card that tells me that you're definitely looking for marriage because it's the Hierophant. And this is a card of blessings upon a marriage, blessings upon a couple. In this case, it's a couple of male priests, but it's blessings upon the roses and the lilies, the way of passion and sex and the way of intellectuality and purity. And the high priest or Hierophant or Pope or whatever you want to call him has two crossed keys at his feet. And this says you should open your roads. You will receive blessings, and you will receive a marriage. So my recommendation to whoever gives you the real work advice is that you should work with fire, a little bit with water, and definitely do a road opening ceremony. That's what I have to say. So let's pass this over to Marin. What do you see for her?
Okay. Well, when somebody comes to me with a more general open-ended question like this regarding love and trying to bring in that beloved, timelines are really important for me. And sometimes I've developed such a knack with timing that I really tend to head right towards that for the beginning of the reading just so I can see initially, is this going to be something where I kind of have to say, wow, you're going to be on this path for a little bit until that person comes into your life, or is this something that you're going to start working tomorrow, like start now because he's there right now, and let's get this in now, let's bring this love in now. What I see in this situation is that the Queen of Wands that you are coming up with in your reading, Miss Kat, and I am utilizing the Rider-Waite Tarot deck for my reading. What's great is I got the Ten of Cups as well, so that's perfect because as the final outcome indicator, I'm getting that happily ever after. I'm getting that solidness that you're looking for in a relationship. But like that Queen of Wands that Miss Kat got, there is a little bit of a push, or a little bit of maybe I detect even a sense of fear of is he really out there, or is he going to come? I don't feel like it's to the point of it being impatience yet. And I think that root work would be really helpful in this situation because it would avoid that impatience from interfering with you finding love. And it's going to help ease your mind a little bit. But I've got to prepare you that what I'm getting still feels like this is going to be almost I feel like it's about a 10, 11 months, maybe as much as a year, until this person's coming into your life. And people have asked me before, how do you get this, or how do you have these timelines or accuracy in timelines? And I don't know how it comes to me. It's just the minute I am giving a question or an insert, excuse me, a question, I just get that answer of this month. Like, I feel like it is going to be 10 months. Like, they just tell me this time frame or this long, and it's just, I second guess, I question, are you sure, am I getting this right? And I just get this validation again. And sometimes I see a calendar image. Sometimes I'm giving a very specific date. In your situation, I'm getting 10 months, 11 months, that's when you're going to be meeting this person. And why I'm getting this three-month variance is it feels like it's 10 months, 11 months, this relationship really starting to solidify, and by 12 months you know that this is the one. In the meantime, I would suggest doing some sort of root work with the mindset that it's unlikely, I don't want to say impossible, but it's unlikely that you're going to be meeting this person next week and falling in love and at the altar next year. What I see is more foreseeable is that you're going to be slowly starting to build a connection, slowly starting to draw in this person as you are still on that path to becoming the Queen of Wands. Because the timing in you being that mature, grounded, strong woman is imperative for you to be able to be happy and successful in this marriage. I think that immaturity could be your biggest enemy right now, that if you're so excited about marriage and partnership, it's a slight indication that those little fears or those fears of getting into a marriage for that purpose of, now I've got relief. You unfortunately have to be that Queen of Wands and have that sense of, I've got relief now. I feel great. I'm a woman. I'm ready to have kids and be married. And you've got to become her before the universe is giving you that partner. It sounds kind of unfair, and it's different for everyone. Sometimes I see relationships where a partner will help you become that Queen of Wands. In your situation, what I'm seeing is once you've become that Queen of Wands, I'm getting a King of Wands. I feel like you're going to be meeting that King of Wands. It's going to mirror you in that passion, high, high sexual chemistry. And with that comes a lot of just ups and downs, a roller coaster of emotions with such a high, high, intense sexual connection that you've got to be responsible, you've got to be grounded, you've got to be mature and ready to handle all those ups and downs and emotions that this relationship may bring you so you can enjoy it rather than having any sort of fear in this relationship. Let me look at one more thing that's coming up. I am getting, I kind of am playing devil's advocate a little bit in this situation, and I'm getting, what if she pushes this? What if she doesn't wait? What if she can't have that patience? Because I feel that urgency of wanting this connection now. My only concern is that you would just be not as fulfilled as if you did wait. I think that there would still be relationships that you come into. It doesn't mean that you're just going to be single for another year. I just get more unfulfilled relationships, more trainings through relationships, more education, lessons through relationships. So it's kind of like your choice. Do you want to take a smooth path or do you want to take the bumpier path? And you can take the bumpier path by dating a variety of different people until you have become that Queen of Wands, or you can take the smoother path, work some simple love drawing workings or moving candle spells. And I know Conjure Man Ali is going to get into that with you and give you some great advice to help you. But my advice would be just slowing the intensity and that love drawing energy that you're putting out there and realizing that you are still building yourself in the process, and then you'll be able to bring that person in. Does that make sense to you, or do you have any follow-up questions for me?
No, it makes a lot of sense because I do fear meeting that person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The thing is, I got the Queen of Wands first, then the happy marriage, then the marriage blessings. It's kind of a, you need to be in your queenship before you get the children is kind of what's happening here, if that makes
mm-hmm.
sense.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. So what about you, Ali? What do we see, what she should do? What kind of root work should she do to draw this soulmate, this husband?
Well, when taking into consideration what you have said and what Marin Graves has said, one, the combination of the water, road opening work, and fire, in addition to this long-term type of goal that we have, where this isn't going to happen overnight. It's going to take a few months. The best way would be a combination of a bath and a honey jar. I love working with honey jars for long-term love work. Starting off with something like a nice Come To Me bath, and you can order it directly from Lucky Mojo, or you can order herbs from Lucky Mojo, boil them, and bathe that way using things like violet leaves, catnip, Queen Elizabeth rose petals, or you can buy the bath crystals. Either one will work. But usually when you do a bath, especially a drawing bath, you can dispose of the water at your doorstep or in your front lawn. In your particular case, I would recommend going out to the crossroads. So here's where you add in that road opening element. So you take your bath over a period of 7 days or 3 days or whatever days that seem to resonate with you as the moon is growing. You air dry, you gather a bit of the used bath water, and then you go out to the crossroads, okay, with your clothes on. I know I said air dry, but I have to clarify because some people will say that to me. Do I go naked? No, no, no. Air dry, put your clothes on, and then go out. So you take a bit of the used bath water, and you dispose of it at the crossroads. And when you go up to the crossroads, you dispose of it towards the east where the sun is rising. Okay? And you go. As you know, I dispose of it. May our roads be open and new love come to me. As the sun is rising, so too may my love grow and grow as the sun is high in the sky and never wanes. Okay? And you come back home and you build yourself your honey jar. A honey jar you want to include, you want to create a packet. You want to create a name packet. You write the qualities you are looking for in a man. You write it in a little paragraph form. It's line by line. I want him to be generous and sweet and putting me first. I want him to be financially well off. I want him to compliment me. I want him to be my... Or you can use a title or a phrase to describe him. My future husband, my ideal mate. If you use that, write it 3 times, turn it, and then cross it with your name 3 times. If you write a paragraph, same thing. Turn it. Turn it clockwise, 1 turn, and write your name 3 times. And in that little packet, then in that paper, use it as a packet, put your herbs. You want to put in rose petal, Damiana, Queen Elizabeth Ruth, catnip, things that combine the elements of love, that seduction, attractive element that the Queen of Wands really has. And then you put this in the honey jar. The way I do it is I take my fingers and I just push the packet right into the honey jar until my fingers are covered with honey, and I pull it out and I lick my finger and I go, as this honey is sweet to me, so too may my future lover be sweet to me. And then I pray my prayer into the honey jar and I close the lid. Okay, so now you have a nice little container, a nice little packet within your honey jar. Now, I want you to work the honey jar slightly differently because Marin Graves indicated that this may take a little bit longer. We want to speed up the honey jar. So what I want you to do is heat it up. And this is a technique that I use from time to time, and it heats up honey jars. The first thing you do is you get a pink candle, dress it with Come To Me oil or Love Me oil, and set that on top of the honey jar. Then I want you to get 3 tea lights. Okay, and you can get, they're just a little, in their little tin, and you pull them out, you put a dab of oil at the bottom of the tea light, you may even engrave or inscribe the tea light itself with your prayers, and you dress the tea lights with the oil as well. You light the tea lights in a triangular formation around the honey jar, but you want to have the tin up against the glass. Okay, so what this does is it actually adds a bit of heat to the inside of it. It slowly warms up the honey jar. And you want to be careful, so it takes a little bit of working with this, a little fiddling around. You want to make sure that it's not, your honey jar is not so low that it might cause too much heat in the, or there's so little honey that it, you know, kind of boils up. You want to make sure that you're not cracking any glass, so watch it. But you put the tin right up to the glass, and one of the beauties is the heat from the 3 tea lights will cause your candle to flicker, you know. And I love when candles flicker because I feel that spirit's really moving it, okay? And that warmed up into the honey jar, it'll heat it up, it'll make it work just a little bit faster so that we can maybe push that 1 year deadline a little bit faster. Honey jars are sometimes known for working a bit more gradually and slowly. This is one of the best ways to speed up that type of work. and bring in warm, affectionate love to you, but that is also sweet and builds up. Nothing coercive, nothing trying to force this situation, but a gentle, natural love that comes to you, but one that you're not waiting the rest of your life for. And I think that this will be ideal. It combines all the elements of road opening, you know, a firework, a little bit of herb work. You got your Queen of Wands right in this particular work, along with your bat. Does this make sense? Do these instructions make sense to you?
Yes.
Good, good, good.
I'm going to add a little note that came in through the chat room. We have a chat room here with our radio show. And Reverend Deborah Joy said something very important. When you're making up your list of how this person should be, the qualities you want, or when you're visualizing them, she said, make sure you visualize or write down, and I prefer to write them down, unmarried. Thank you,
yes.
Deborah Joy.
This is good. This is very good.
This is not something that every card reader or root worker remembers to tell a young woman. Unmarried. Just say unmarried, okay?
Okay. I just have a question with this. What if I can't do the work?
If you can't do the work, you can hire someone to do it for you. But I'm going to tell you something. Doing love drawing work is usually best done by the person who's doing the work, for the simple reason that the best love drawing work usually involves some sexual stimulation. It would be unseemly and improper to do that or have a root worker do it on your behalf. And in fact, a root worker who offered such things would be a person I would not trust and would run like hell from.
I 100% agree.
So the strength of your sexual desire may be best expressed in private. If you really cannot do it and expressing the sexual aspect is not that important, you want to draw some dating possibilities first and some talking possibilities and some friendship possibilities, you can hire a root worker to do the work for you. And the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, Marin Graves is a root worker there, Kajman Ali, I am, and there are many others who do root work to draw love, okay?
But
and
note that this particular work is not very elaborate or, you know, requires you to have crazy altars or petitioning weird, you know, spirits that you may be uncomfortable with. It's a very simple, straightforward work. Honey jar on your dresser. No one is really going to notice what it's for. You know, you can set it up behind your photos. Taking a bath, you normally take baths, right? You take the used bath water out. There's nothing particularly elaborate about this type of work that would actually keep you from working, unless, you know, even with privacy issues. Oh, I live with my parents. You can still do honey jar work like I described, just late at night when people are asleep. Okay, so if you really want this, you can make the effort to just, you know, find a way of carrying out the work.
Yeah. You can buy your spiritual supplies online, have them sent to you in a discreet package. For instance, if you were to buy from Lucky Mojo, you just write, send it discreet, and it'll come in an unmarked box. Tea lights will burn through rather quickly, so it's not as if this is going to be, you're going to be up all night with this thing, okay? Give it a try, and if you really feel you can't, then hire someone to do it for you who specializes in doing love drawing work, okay?
Okay,
all right, honey, good luck to you. All right.
Can I make one last comment, Ms. Kat and Kajman Ali, and before our caller leaves? Really what I find is effective with honey jar workings and a long-term working like this is that you may choose to light a candle on the honey jar just every Friday on a love drawing day. Or some people tuck their honey jar in a box and they'll slide it under their bed so they're sleeping above it, and they contain that energy and they're holding it, but then all of a sudden you have a panic attack one week, or you're maybe a little more concerned or a little more upset, or maybe my love's not going to be there. You pull that honey jar out, maybe you work it for 7 days, and then when you feel relief or you feel like you've expressed your concerns and the guides and universe is going to help you, you tuck it back up and you slide it under your bed again and sleep above it. And I just don't want her to be misunderstood that it's got to sit on this altar, out on display. It's a working, moving, it's a working spell that's going to be moving over a long period of time, and not to think that it has to be done every single day. You don't have to light that candle every day, considering the length of the time she may work this.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Very, very good advice.
Oh, and somebody
and
somebody just said, Deborah had just commented moon cycle. She commented about waxing moon. So like on a growing moon,
right.
You could do it once every month on a full moon. Like that is just get familiar with timing or your emotions and when you feel that you need to use it. And if you're great for a month, then good. Just trust that the work is working and don't worry about it. That's the purpose of this type of root work.
I also
okay.
will add that if you're burning a candle because you're in a home situation with family or parents or roommates or in a dormitory, another good time to burn, if you cannot burn it all the time, is on the first day of your period, as close to when you first get the blood. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's really, really very powerful for drawing in a sexual love. And I've used it myself and found it to be the most potent time for me, followed by the moon cycles. And then the days of the week, Friday, always a good day for love. So there's very many ways you can do this. Venus day, Venus hour, use the planetary hours. You can read about these things online and kind of coordinate and make the best timing cycles you can. Okay?
Okay, thank you again.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Good luck to you, sweetheart.
Thank you.
All right, Tammy Lee.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat. And a reminder to everyone that support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next client, who is calling in from area code 956 from Arlington, Texas. This is Jennifer M., and she is a new caller who has emailed conjugally, and she wants... Jennifer M., are you there, caller?
Yes, I am.
Great. Welcome to the show. I'm going to go ahead and read the brief description of your situation for our host, and she writes, I've always felt drawn to conjure doctoring, but recently I had been compelled to learn and practice more. I experienced something recently, and I feel I was almost supernatural nudge in the direction of root work, and I'm feeling a need to go further. My question is, am I prepared to take this journey? I know that it's not something to be taken lightly. I know that this is a lifestyle and life's work to be a practitioner worth your salt. Is this right for me, or am I just misinterpreting signs from the universe? I could really use some guidance and advice on the subject. I want to know that I have my feet planted and where they need to be. Turning it back over to you.
Okay, Ollie.
Certainly. Welcome, Jennifer. What I'm going to do is I'm going to work with the tarot cards and pull three cards. Now, before I do that, I have a quick question for you. You said you want to get into root doctoring. Now, the phrase means differently for different people. Do you mean as a professional root doctor, or do you mean as a root doctor who works, you know, for themselves, learning the, you know, tradition of conjure to help yourself, or are you looking to work for client base?
Well, here's where I'm at right now. I actually have been buying supplies and selling them, you know, making my own products, and using what knowledge I know to make those products, but I'm not doing work for people. I'm not doing any spell work for them because I don't feel confident enough in my abilities and in my skills. So it's basically the raw materials that I'm marketing, but my goal is to become a root worker that can do work for other people because I want to help people in that way.
Okay. Now, quicker, have you taken Kat's course yet?
I have not. You actually had recommended and said that I should look into that on the website. I did go and look at the book there, but I wanted to get a little bit more information from you guys and see if that was right. I know Kat interviewed people anyway to see what the recommendation would be.
Right. Well, we'll leave the consultation for my colleagues. I've pulled three cards here, and I'll go over them. The first thing I'll say is that you do have what I would call an innate ability to go on and be successful in this particular line of work and may very well make a business out of this or have some means of financially supporting yourself by doing root doctoring. Okay. However, there are some obstacles in the way first that we need to address. So, yes, the overall answer to the question is yes, that you are on the right path. yes, you are spiritually called in order to take up root doctoring. Okay, but the first card that I have here is the Six of Pentacles. The Six of Pentacles shows two beggars, and they're getting coins from this merchant. The merchant is doling out coins in one hand, and he has scales in the other. This is a card of what I would call impoverishment, you know, and in their particular situation, it is a lack of perhaps knowledge. Okay, you may have a little bit of knowledge of the raw materials, knowing which herbs to make products, but you aren't quite there yet in order to become a root doctor. What you need to do is you need to change this, okay? There needs to be a shift in this position. You are a person who doesn't quite have the technical knowledge in order to start making products, selling products, or taking on clients yet. So you're at a, what I would consider, a disadvantaged position currently for this line of work. And in order to change that, what you do is to gain knowledge by signing up for the course. And they'll go over the different, you know, options you have for learning this. So the Six of Pentacles is really a card of you don't have what it takes at this moment. Okay, you are on the right path, but before you go selling products, before you start taking on clients, you actually need to know what you're doing. You're there as the beggar. You're getting coins. You need to go and learn from other people, learn these traditions, learn how to make products. If, for example, and the reason I say this is because this is essential, if you're not confident in order to take on a client, what makes you think that you're confident enough to make someone a money oil or a love oil or any type of product? You know, if there is a certain knowledge base that you need to have before you can go on and do these things. And this knowledge base is easily acquired. You can go and get the, you know, the correspondence course, the apprenticeships. All these are resources that you can do in order to avoid being in this state of impoverishment in respect to your knowledge of these traditions. So that's what the Six of Pentacles really talks about. It's changing where your knowledge is at in order to be able to actually have the power to start making these products, the know-how how to make these products, and to help clients. The next card that we have is the Seven of Pentacles. So again, this is kind of a pentacle card. It's talking about knowledge and using it for money. The Seven of Pentacles shows a man leaning on a rake, and there is coins that are growing out of this ground that are harvested. But there's one coin off to the side. What this tells me is that it's likely that you may have more than one tradition that you might get involved in. So while your main core may be root work, conjure, and hoodoo, but this coin off to the side may indicate that you're also drawn to another form of spirituality or another form of you know, magical work. So you may be able to work in a multiple tradition path, you know. Make sure not to mix and mingle. I've said this before. I'm one of the old-fashioned traditionalists that does not like everything being muddled up. But there is a separate coin here that says you might have a separate tradition that you can work from. This also shows us that, yes, this is a path that you can make money from. But before you go making money, before you go selling products, you actually have to have the seeds to plant. So again, this goes back to knowledge. You have to plant your seeds. You have to build your reputation up as a worker, as a knowledgeable worker, as an ethical worker, as a skilled worker. If you're able to do these three things, then yes, you can start selling products. You can start taking on clients. But first, start at the beginning. Okay, and this is not uncommon, and we, Miss Kat and I, have talked about this in this past, the idea of the year of the root worker. Everyone wants to become a root worker, and I think that's wonderful and beautiful and exciting. But everyone, you know, the advice to anyone on this path is make sure you're ready before you start selling anything, okay? Because this isn't, as much as we talk about the business aspect of things, this is a spiritual calling. You want to make sure that you actually have the spiritual gift in order to help people. If you're starting to charge money when you're not and you don't have that, well, we run into a bit of an issue. The next card that we have is the High Priestess, and this is what really tells me that, yes, you have what it takes. The High Priestess is this powerful woman sitting in between two pillars, and these are the pillars of the Temple of Solomon. And behind her is a veil of pomegranates, often alluding to an initiation into the underworld, the power to call spirits, the power to have, you know, psychic ability and clairvoyance. At her feet is a crescent moon. In her hands is a scroll of Torah. She's wearing, you know, an Egyptian headdress of Hathor and Isis, and she's got this equal-armed cross on her chest. Again, this goes back to the idea that you may be working in multiple traditions. Okay, that while conjure may be your base, you may have other traditions to draw your interest. So you are, you know, a multicultural type of conjure worker, which is great. But this woman also talks about initiations of sort, learning the knowledge, taking that first step until you become a high priestess. No one becomes a high priestess overnight. No one becomes a high priestess because they decide to start selling products or taking on clients. They become a high priestess by learning from another priestess. So for me, this would be a very clear indication of go sign up for the High Priestess's Rootwork course, Kat Ironwood, okay? Go sign up for her, who also is multicultural, you know? So go and sign up and learn from the correspondence course, and especially if you're looking to make products before you start selling them, take this course. This course will give you definitive knowledge of how to make oils, why these oils were made the way they were, which are some of the traditional ways of doing it. And then I would follow up with you, because we have, you know, two pentacle cards. These are very earthy. I would follow this up by saying, make sure that you take the apprenticeships. I want you to have hands-on knowledge of how to make sachet powders, how to make oils, how to make incense before you go down this path. But these are very positive cards, even though they're saying, hold on, slow your horses a little bit, gain the knowledge first before you dive in and sell anything. They are saying, in the end, you do have the gift of this work, and you can make a viable business and living from it. Okay?
Thank you very much, and I agree with everything you said, and that just kind of confirms for me everything that I felt was at the core of the issue that I've been having is, read some of Mama Star's work, and most of the things that I do market, I mean, there are some eclectic things that I've just kind of pulled from various different places, but the knowledge that I have is, you know, some of what of Mama Star has done, and, you know, some old school remedies that, you know, they call old wives' tales remedies, you know, so that sort of thing. Mostly right now what I'm selling is the herbals, like just the raw herbs and the raw incenses, nothing, you know, actually made really. There are a couple things, like I said, it's more eclectic.
Gotcha.
All right, well, I'm going to do a very quick bone reading. We're running a little short of time here.
Okay.
And so this is just going to be a very quick little bone reading to see what we have, okay? So I'm reaching into my batch of bones, and I'm just going to throw whatever comes into my hand, and we'll just read it off really quick. Okay. All right. What we have here is a little China doll hand, and it is reaching toward a bell. The bell is a little tiny brass bell, and the bell represents waking up. The doll is, I have different doll hands. This one is the reaching, trying to grab. But between the two is a cat's bone, a cat's ankle bone, as a matter of fact. And the cat's ankle bone stands for walking alone. Cats walk alone. There's also a dog ankle bone that stands for walking with a companion. So this is walking alone interferes with your grasp of the bell, which is waking up and being aware. And around the bell is a very lovely wishbone, a chicken wishbone. So your dream and your wish is to wake up and to have this knowledge, but walking alone is interfering. So this kind of reinforces a little bit of what Ollie said, maybe a little bit more straight up kind of warning here, that you will not reach your goal of being awake, aware, and of service to others until you join a community. In other words, being the cat ankle bone is interfering. And the idea here is that if you want to make products, you need to be able to use those products. If you want to use those products, you need to study with other people who do use them. Do you cast spells for yourself?
I do, but again, it's more of an eclectic thing. I have, like I said, used some of Mama Star's root work practices for myself. But for the most part, no, I don't do conjure work for myself necessarily.
Okay, so you can't be doing conjure work for other people until you've done it for yourself,
right?
And a lot of it.
Exactly.
I mean, not everyone does every spell for themselves. My gosh, you know, we don't all have all the needs that there are. But you need to start practicing this work. This is a path in and of itself. It's not just a five and dime where you can go and pick one off the shelf and another one off the shelf and another one off the other shelf and mix it with voodoo and mix it with Hinduism. Until you understand this path, you can't call yourself a root worker. So I'm going to turn this over really quickly to Marin. Marin, what would you recommend
Thank
she
Thank you. And was your name Jenny?
Jen.
Jenny, okay. You know, you remind me a lot of myself when, or Jen, you remind me a lot of myself when I was transitioning from becoming a worker, a tarot enthusiast for myself, and wanting to become a public professional root worker. And it's so exciting. And that energy itself is a roller coaster where you just feel like you're bursting at the seams with all this excitement. It is like a kid in the candy store of all this fun stuff. But my best advice to you is to really approach this with small doses, because you don't want to get yourself in trouble. There's been stories and stories that you'll hear of root workings that have backfired with fire or illness, dangerous, disastrous situations. And I'm not predicting any of that for you, but you've just got to be careful, because this is unforeseen energies that you're working with. And until you understand them, you're playing with fire. The best advice I can suggest for you as a root working strategy right now, this is tough because I'm supposed to be offering you some root work advice, and what I'm going to actually do is deviate just a little bit from the show. I hope you don't mind, Miss Kat and Conjure Mentally, but I would like to give you some very general root work advice and a little bit more just practical knowledge. I would be working with the element of water right now. Anything that's going to bring in that intuition, that intellect, that calming, like, wow, let's just sit back and enjoy this and soak in this and bathe in it and take it all in. I would start off with making bath salts, okay? You're not going to kill somebody with bath salts. It's something that is just going to be gentle and easy. And if you wanted to work on bath salts such as Crown of Success bath salts for starting to create a business for yourself, knowing that that's going to be your path that you're going to be working towards, or King Solomon Wisdom. And if you go onto the Lucky Mojo webpage, you'll be able to see these products and read a little bit about them. But I really think that you've got to start with any sort of bathing products or water-related products and get that down pat to where you feel so confident in your knowledge. And then if you wanted to start making your own bath salts or researching formulas, as you start beginning to understand the products and the ingredients, hopefully through a class like Ms. Katz and some legitimate resources, you're going to feel like you can now give this advice. Or when you have a friend that is in college and wants to ace a test, you've got the perfect bath salt formula you can sell her. So you learn from experience, and you learn from knowing the energy that goes in behind a working to be able to help others. Once you have that experience, then you can bump it up to the next level. Maybe then you want to work with candle working and something that may be a little bit more exciting. You're upping that enthusiasm and excitement, and a whole new realm of learning how to dress candles and what herbs you'd use to do a love drawing candle working. And for me right now, it's a little bit tricky for me to give you a root work suggestion for you, other than know that you are predominantly going to be wanting to work with Crown of Success products and King Solomon products to bring in wisdom, intuition, and to bring in that calm path towards success. So any of those products that you may find, any types of bathing, root work, workings that are going to be very subtle, that's where you would start working your way up from there. And I would take it personally. I would take this because this is your passion. This is your interest. I would look at this as, what is it that I want to create? What is it that I want to draw? Do I want love and relationship? Do I want success? Do I want money? And one of the things you'll learn is that if you start working all this root work, and 1 week you want a new car, and 1 week you think you want love, and you start going crazy with all this root work, you are going to be burnt out. You are going to end up with just this big hodgepodge of energy and throwing so much energy. And what you're going to learn from this is that as a root worker, you can't do it all. And that's why we specialize in specific paths. I'm known as more of the court case root worker. We've got the love root worker. You know, Ali deals a lot with some of those big, heavy workings that he helps people work
through. We call me Conjure Special Forces. That's my specialty, Conjure Special Forces.
Yeah, and I do a tremendous amount of business success and protection work. I think what you're saying is so true. Work for yourself by your need, and you will also see which ones of the things you do produces the most success. I think that's what we're getting at here.
Yeah.
But don't try to go in and pretend to be a teacher or a worker for people. If you don't just go out. You can't open a restaurant and say, I'm cooking, and tonight it's, you know, beef stroganoff, when you've never made beef stroganoff. You know,
it's
you got to practice. You can't go out on stage with that guitar. You know, you just bought that brand new guitar, and you're going to go, and tonight I'm a rock star. Can't do it. So start by working for yourself. Woodsheds is what they call it in music. Sit around a woodshed for a while. Say, well, I've got six friends who need boyfriends. I'm going to work for me, and I'm going to work for my six friends for boyfriends and for sex love, and I'm going to make these different things. I'm going to try them out for free. Just do them for free. Okay? And then you'll find out what you're good at, you know, what appeals to you and what you like to do and what you're good at. Like, I can do death spells, but I have chosen only to do them for myself.
For people
who are my enemies. I don't do death spells for hire, but I do know people who do death spells for hire. And no one has to do everything, but you gotta work by doing. You gotta see if you can actually do that death spell, because people will ask for it, and you gotta either be able to say, no, I don't do them, no, I can't do them, no, I won't do them. For you, I mean, you have to have an answer. When you put yourself out as a professional root worker, there's a whole lot going on. Take my course. Do you have my green book, Hoodoo Urban Root Magic?
Oh, that's a bestseller.
No, I've started reading some of the recommended readings before applying to the course, you know, because I know that you do kind of expect people to be very serious about it, and of course I am, but I want to show.
Well,
get the
green book. The green book's available to the public. It's $14.95. It is required reading for the course, but you should have it even if you were just a hobbyist. Okay.
Yes,
all right, we're
going
to have to move on. We're running a little over. Just get it. Hoodoo Urban Root Magic. It will tell you a tremendous amount about the herbs that you are selling that you don't yet know about. Okay? Got to get your knowledge in there. And if you can't work with somebody face to face, like Star or somebody, you need to get some written materials that will teach you. Another really good book to get is Golden Secrets of Magic Oils by Anna Riva. And Master Book of Candle Burning, and so forth and so on, by Henri Gamache. Okay, bye. Miss Tammy B.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat. And from coast to coast and around the world, tune in and listen to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour, broadcast live from the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. If you're there, you could be on the air. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour is brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville and located online at luckymojo.com. Every Sunday at 3 p.m. Pacific and 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, tune into Blog Talk Radio. Our next caller is calling in from area code 646 from New York. This is Yorka Goddess. Yorka Goddess, are you there, caller?
Yes, I'm here. Hello.
Hi, Yorka. Welcome to the show. I'm going to go ahead and read the brief description of your situation for our host, and she writes, since my brother was killed almost 2 years ago, certain inheritance issues rose, and since then I've had a lot of financial trouble, but bad luck as well. I've done several on crossings, cleansings, protection, and now some money work, but I'm really at my wit's end. With a baby on the way, single, hurt, and at work, and no money by the end of this month, I won't have enough to cover the mortgage or any basic needs, even food. I'm getting scared, even the people that owe me money as well as institutions. This is in parentheses, work, Mormon's comp, and other situations. Nothing's coming through. Turning it back over to you.
Okay, this one goes to Marin.
Yeah. Wow. Gosh. As you were reading the situation, Miss Tammy Lee, the picked up my cards, I parted the deck, and the Tower card fell out, not surprisingly, just landed right here, and this is heavy. You know, it sits right in my stomach right now as I'm reading this situation, and I, caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. I need to open your eyes in this situation, and I apologize in advance for my heavy reading, but I want you to realize that this is something that needs to be acted upon quickly, because I'm not seeing this path as it's unfolding, remedying without some hard focus and attention, and I'm buckling down, and I need to address this now. It feels like it's kind of been one of those things in the back of your mind of, yeah, it's kind of getting worse. Shoot, things are getting a little bit worse. Next month later, it's like this concern that is just being out of sight, out of mind, and I'm trying to help direct you that it needs to be right smack in front of you, and the Tower card is upright, and it is the very first card that I got. Second to that, I get the Illusion card, which in some decks is labeled the Devil, and it's just showing me that you aren't facing the reality of this situation. This isn't something that is... This doesn't feel like it's being addressed, and I know that you've given me a list of all these effects and issues that are happening, but part of it is still your lifestyle. And without this sounding like I'm chastising you, what lifestyle attempts or what have you done as far as career or work or job? It feels to me like this is something that's continually just kind of being...
I have a civil service job that I got hurt at work while I was pregnant. So, and they were supposed to be paying me workers' comp. Unfortunately, when you're pregnant nowadays, unfortunately nowadays, even though, you know, we are in the 21st century, pregnancy is, you know, is a no-no. So they're trying to blame my pregnancy on my injury, which the two things are not related.
Okay.
So they have me out of work since April, and the last paycheck I got was in May.
Wow.
So we do have, I do have a career, a good paying job, but that's when I'm working. Unfortunately, I cannot work because I am on my 9th month in pregnancy, and I have a hernia. And my doctors, I have 3 doctors saying you are not to move from bed, and I have my job saying, well, you know what, that's tough luck because workman's comp is not going to pay you.
Okay.
So this is a court issue, you know, that I actually, there will be a hearing, you know, hopefully sooner than later.
Good. And that was the very first comment I was just going to make in response to what you said is it's time for you to get angry. It's time for you to defend yourself. It's time for you to have that intensity in realizing I'm fighting back. It's not just a situation that's going to blow over.
I've been fighting back. I'm more worried, I'm sorry to interrupt, that it's being done to me. For example, I had a protection candle lit for the last 7 days. I light my candles, I do my work. I had a protection candle. Last night, the protection candle sliced off the whole top. Thank God the fire didn't spread. No, we were sleeping, you know, in the house, and the fire is burning on my bookcase.
That's an enemy right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Well, and I'm
just going to interrupt because in your description, she said she did not have any of us read for her before, but I did read for Yura.
I said I have both Conjure Mentally and Kat has read for me before.
Okay, because it says, I didn't have a reading particularly on this issue, but we did actually talk about it. Yeah. So okay. So this is an important thing. We talked about this before, and I made a recommendation to you at that time, which was to use a spond. Have you, because you said you didn't like to use any evil eye things, and we talked about evil eye, and I said...
Miss Kat, I've been using your spond.
You've been using a spond, okay.
I got the green and black candle. I did it. By the time I was able to complete the ritual, it's a good thing that I didn't put myself on fire. This never happens to me. The candle was going off. It was falling all over the place.
Just to interject real quickly, I remember recommending to you to get a talisman from Miss Cat. Did you get one of those? Because that you need a permanent form of protection.
I sent the hair and the name.
Right,
so
I have that.
Good.
Right.
That talisman is going to give you the protection you need to start aggressively defending yourself.
The talismans take some time to make because I put them on my altar and pray over them for a certain number of days. You can't just—it's not like an off-the-shelf thing. So that's being worked on. The other thing I remembered saying to you was to take your enemy and dip them in alum water. Did you do that?
I did that too, Miss Cat.
All right.
Okay.
Well, all right. So let's move on then. I just wanted to make sure that we had given you both, Ollie and I have given you a lot of recommendations, and what you're saying is that nothing is working, and Marin is seeing some seriously negative cards here, which do show an enemy, and it's sort of frightening because you are in your ninth month of pregnancy, and I want you to focus on the baby now because this is looking pretty dark. Okay.
Yeah.
That's so nervous, and I actually called in because I've been trying to get a reading with either of you, and your next reading was sometime, I think it's in September, and I'm like, God, I'll probably have the baby by then, and, you know.
Yes, I understand.
Wow. We both tend to be booked a little bit. I'm getting a really odd, just to interject again, and then we'll let everything go. Is one of your enemies, are you aware who your enemies are, right?
I'm pretty sure who one of them is, yes. That's why I mentioned the inheritance.
Are they involved in brujeria? Because I'm getting Santísima Muerte's image is really coming through strongly in this particular reading.
Is any of them involved?
Santísima Muerte's image is coming through. Is any of them involved in brujeria or a devotee of hers?
Well, one of them is Mexican. It's a possibility.
Okay, yeah, it's brujeria then. Because Santísima Muerte's image is really coming strongly in this particular work. And as much as she is a loving, powerful, devoted, saint, she also is the figure of death who seems to be invoked in this particular instance. And that may be the devil card that's coming up in Marin's and the tower card that's coming up in this reading.
Yeah, you need some help, and Marin's reading indicates you really need some help.
No.
This is a bad situation for you, sweetheart. I feel like, and you've done everything we've tried to teach you how to do this work for yourself. It is sometimes difficult to do these kinds of workings when you are pregnant, and I say this with all due respect to all pregnant women anywhere. I have myself been a pregnant woman. Many times when you're pregnant, there's two things going on. You're building the unfolding of the baby, but you're also you can't do your best enemy work, or your best defense work or your best money drawing work when you're pregnant if your mind is also having to be on the baby. I mean, some people can, not everyone, and I have found that this often happens. You need a friend or companion, if not a professional root worker to work for you, and I know there's money issues here, but you need someone to help engage the work with you because you are not strong enough right now. Okay?
I don't have any work, that's for sure.
Yeah. Mary B. said something about Psalm 91, and this is a good one, and seriously, there's a lot of negativity, and Reverend Deborah Joy, who is a card reader and been a card reader for a long year, says something that you and I had talked about before, which was about someone being jealous for the baby. So these are things that have other, and when she says the same thing that I said to you when I read for you in July, there is some issues here, and you need a helper. It is more than we can do on this radio show, unfortunately.
Are you based out of New York City?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is that what it is? Okay, Kai Armand. I want you to go see Kai Armand and get a hands-on cleansing. That's what you need. You need a limpia. You need a cleansing, a hands-on cleansing in order to remove the influences. Go see Kai Armand. Kai Armand, he's a member of AIR. He's one of our, newer members, but he's absolutely brilliant, and he does hands-on work right in New York City. He's in, where is he, Manhattan or Queens, Kat? I think it's Queens, right?
I thought he was in the Bronx. I don't know. Brooklyn,
I may be
whatever.
Wrong. Whatever
someone
it is, he's in New York.
It's in New York City.
In,
okay. Brooklyn.
Yeah, it's in New York.
Nagashiba.
Brooklyn. Contact him. You need that hands-on work from Kai. And let him know we sent you. Let him know that Kat, I, and Marin read for you on the show and sent you, and you need hands-on work to remove, especially that you're pregnant, hands-on bathing, hands-on cleansing with herbs, with incense, to remove whatever it is these jealous people are sending and to turn back the hand of Santissima Muerte, okay?
Yeah. If
and he's
you
familiar
can travel,
with that work.
Yeah, if you can travel to see him in Brooklyn, that would be good. He does travel, but then he's going to charge you for his travel time.
Yeah.
I can get somebody to take me there. That's not a problem. That's not an issue. How do I find him? Is he on the
Go to AIR, the readers and rootworkers.org. His name is Kai, and it is spelled K-H-I. Kai Armand. And you'll see his picture. He does hands-on cleaning with bathing with water. Tell him that we all said bathe, 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 baby.
Yes, and
you
with
need
water.
Olympia. Yeah. You need Olympia. You may need an egg cleansing as well. He knows how to do this. He knows how even to do some of the stronger work that may be necessary to completely cut you off from these people. He is a justified worker, and if it's necessary, he will do that. All right? I wish you all the best. I'm afraid that this is beyond what we can do on a radio show. This is you're in a serious situation, honey.
This is my last resort trying to get
and
in
tell
touch
him,
with somebody, especially
tell
after
him,
yesterday.
Yeah, tell him what you did. Tell him you followed my instructions. You followed Ollie's instructions, that you have some experience with this work, and that you're still... It's gotten worse, okay? And it's scary. Also, in the last couple of weeks before the baby comes, I want to see you starting to nest. You need to have this cleansing, to have this off your mind so that you can do your nesting procedures. And you could talk with me about that on a 10-minute reading if you want to. Or Marin. Okay? All right. Good luck to you, sweetheart. And make sure you stay in touch with your doctor and get your regular prenatal checkups, okay? So it's not good.
Do let us know how things turn out, my dear.
Yeah. Okay.
We just got to find the finances to get in touch with Kyerman.
Well, we do have the pro bono fund, and you might be able to arrange a little bit of help through that too. Good luck. All right.
Thank you.
Okay. Tammy Lee.
Yes, ma'am, Ms. Kat, and if it's all right, I'm going to skip the next break. We have about 14 minutes of the show left in terms of air time, and I'm going to just jump right in. Our next caller is calling from 818 from Los Angeles. This is Miss P, and she's calling back in. Her last call I can see that was in January of 2012. Miss P, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, we have some really rough background noise. I need for you to mute it if you could, please, or if you could step into the other room, wherever you can. Some quiet time, please. That's better. Okay. Okay, Miss P writes, my mom has a new boyfriend. He has been out of prison for the last month and has done a complete 360 on me, from cursing me out and calling me out of my name. It's something about him that I just don't like, and I can't figure it out. I'm not the one to judge people for what they did in their past, or to dislike people for any reason, but since she has changed on me, it will be stressing me out completely. Is it just that I'm sad that my mother has changed on me and that I need to move out or starting to do my own thing again, or is it really something devious about him that she doesn't see in him that I can? What can I do to heal my emotions and could start to live my life again? Turning it back over to you.
Wow. Okay, Ms. P.,
yes.
Can you tell me, what is your age?
I'm 24.
Okay. And so your mother is about how old?
48.
All right. So this is a situation which seems to be pretty serious. And I'm going to say that I have a feeling here that before I even start to read, that you've already kind of pegged this one. I think it is the boyfriend out of prison. It's not your mother just doing a 360. There's something else going on here. Okay, your mother is somewhat under this fellow's control. I just get that just from a straight up, you know, spirit whispers in my ear. When I read what you wrote, I knew you were telling your truth, and I heard it. Okay.
Okay.
So I'm going to put I'm going to put down some cards here. Oh, boy. Okay. This guy is not really very nice. He is influencing your mother, but here's her problem. Her card comes up as Queen of Swords, the second reading today in which a queen has come up first, which is kind of interesting. Queen of Swords is a lonely woman. She's all by herself. She has a single bird over her head. Another Shiva, could you mute the caller until we need her to speak, because we're getting just a tremendous amount of echoing sound. Thank you. No offense, caller, we're getting this weird noise on your line. And we will pick you up again later. This queen has a sword in her hand. She has a single bird overhead. She's by herself. This is your mom. We sometimes call this the unmarried woman, the lonely woman, the widow woman. She's a wise woman, but she's a woman who often feels alone. Next card is a card that is called the Hanged Man. I think that's the fellow here. This is a guy who's tied up, bound. He's hung upside down. He has a halo around his head. He maybe have learned his lesson a bit. Third card is the card called the Nine of Wands. This is a guy with a head wound, which has been bandaged, and he's leaning on a stick, and there's a bunch of sticks behind him. He's a little bit on the PTSD paranoid side. I have a feeling that your mother has engaged with this man partly out of fear of living a life of loneliness. That's not a bad thing, but it's there. This man is still tied and bound. It's not so much that he's evil, but he himself was tied and bound, and he is still not completely free of what put him mentally in that state. I'm not going to make a recommendation of what to do. I'm just saying is what I see here is it's not your mother. It is him. You were right. But in some sense, there's something wrong about his head that may need some help or may be able to be remediated a little bit. All right. Marin, what do you see?
Very, very quickly, yes. I just wanted to confirm that I'm getting the Seven of Cups as an indicator and representative of him, which is that card known as the kind of head in the clouds, head in the clouds. There is some fog, could be some substance, instability is what I'm getting. So most importantly, any type of protection work, cleansing work, Ali will go into that. I am seeing for your situation, though, for you, I've got the world reversed for you. Your universe is upside down right now, and so you're not sure what your involvement should be, shouldn't be. Do you step away? How do you protect yourself, your mom? I just get a lot of confusion that is in this whole situation, and because you have devoted some of your energy to this situation, you are getting that repercussion. That energy is affecting you. I just get an Ace of Pentacles as well reversed as that ungroundedness, that element of earth, and you not being grounded, not feeling like you are capable of handling the situation. And I know we don't have a lot of time left, and I apologize, so I am going to turn this over to Mr. Ali so he has time to give you some help, most importantly, on how to deal with this situation, okay?
Well, I think the readings have been spot on. You know, I get the same thing right off the bat. But what my suggestion would be in this specific situation really revolves around that world card reverse, because the world card is the independent woman. It's the woman that doesn't need anyone. She is complete on her own. She is successful and victorious. It's about time for you to look at possibly moving out. As terrible as your mother's situation is, as horrible as it is, while you can do some clarity work by lighting some clarity candles for her, some protection candles to ensure that she, you know, is safe, King Solomon's wisdom to ensure that she makes the right decisions for herself. What's needed in this situation is for you to reclaim yourself as the woman in the world card. Your world needs to be turned back, right side up. Okay? And so now your aim should be, while this, you know, you do some work for your mother, most of your work, she's a grown woman, she makes her own decisions ultimately, should be aimed at getting yourself out of this situation, moved into your own place, independent, financially stable, and well off. And from that position, you will be far better equipped at repairing your relationship with your mother than you are right now. If you continue to stay, I sense that things are going to progressively get a bit worse as the relationship frays and deteriorates and the two of you argue. So what I want you to do is work with lodestones, money-drawing products in order to bring something to you. And the first thing you do is you write down a list of the qualities you're looking for in an apartment or a place, or if you find an ad that's ideal for you, you take that ad, you print it out, you dress it with attraction you want, and you put that in your shoe. So that every time you step, it leads you to the new place that you will reside, your new apartment, your new home. So that's an easy conjure that you can do right there that'll help you to move out. But then start working with a lodestone and candles, and go out there and find a place. If you don't have a job, work with steady work to get yourself a job first and foremost. But the idea is to really make yourself become the woman in the world card, which is a woman that is independent, a woman that is in her own, so to speak. And then from there, you can focus more on repairing the relationship. So my recommendation is, first and foremost, get out of your current living situations. Find a place where you are financially stable, where you're independent. Work with lodestones, work with money, come to me, money drawing, money stay with me, attraction products. Place that petition under your shoe, in your shoe, step on it, and do these works to help build you up. Once you got that world card back up, when you are independent and you're strong and you're confident in place, that's when you start working with your mother to repair your relationship, lighting clarity candles for her, King Solomon wisdom in order to give her the innate ability to make the right decisions on her behalf, and see this man for who he is.
She's muted, but can Nagashiva will unmute her. And I have to say something here, too. Repairing the relationship with the mother is very, very important. And
yes.
I want, before you ever move out, I want you to actually start some work with between you and your mother that has nothing to do with this man. Get your mother's hair and your hair. Make a little charm with them. Talk about your bond, put it together with some motherwort, some angelica, some of the things we use for family, some Queen Elizabeth, and make a little protection packet with that. You can put it in a little locket and wear it. You can use it, in a honey jar if you want.
A fixed photograph is really good for something like this also.
A photograph, exactly, a photo of the two of you, you and your mom together. But this has to be done before you move out, because you're going to need to have something of her, her hair, her fingernail, and something matching of yours, okay?
Right,
okay.
Absolutely.
All righty.
Okay.
So, now, the only other thing I would say is, people have said in the chat room, your mother needs some protection from possible violence or possible anger on this man's part. So you also might want to just do a little picture spell for her to be protected.
Right,
okay.
Or include some protection
good.
Herbs in that packet.
Okay, so let's give this over to Tammy Lee.
Yes, ma'am, Ms. Kat. Thank you, Ms. Kat, and Conjugan Ali, and thank you, Marin Graves of MarinGraves.com in Grass Valley, California, for being our special guest this week from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers. We invite you to join us next week when our special guest from AIR will be Madam Nadia of Chicago, Illinois at CrowleyMoon.blogspot.com. And once again, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Root Work Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Ms. Kat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjugan Ali at conjuganali.com in Mission Viejo. I'm your announcer, Ms. Tammy Lee, joining you at tripconconjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. The Lucky Mojo Hoodie Root Work Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at this same time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Have a great week. Good night.
Good night, everybody. Thank you so much, Marin, for being a guest.
Oh,
yes,
thank you. Thank you all. My pleasure.
Yeah. And make sure you come back and visit with us again.
I absolutely will.
Tell us all about the Gypsy Wagon.
I will.
Oh,
right.
Yes. We look
and
forward to hearing an update.
All right. And we'll be in the chat room for for another, you know, 5, 10, 15 minutes for those who want to talk about some of what went down. And we'll be taking questions and answering them in the chat. And again, we'll see you all next week, and looking forward to being with Madam Nadja. All right, folks, good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.